Welcome to the Your Courageous Life podcast, where we discuss psychology and tools to help you create better habits, cultivate discipline, and live with courage, aka grit and emotional resilience. I'm your host, Kate Swoboda. Learn more about my books and get additional resources at yourcourageouslife.com. And now, here's today's episode. Hey, everybody. Let's talk about trust. Most recent episode of the Your Courageous Life podcast, I was talking about betrayal and how one of the hardest things to do after betrayal is learn to trust yourself again. Our sense of trust can be disabled after a betrayal. But then it's like, okay, got it. So all of those things are affected. Now what do I do? Because I don't want to stay in this place forever. So today's episode is about learning to trust again. So life has thrown you a curveball, you've experienced a betrayal, you're questioning everything. And I'll talk today about learning how to trust again, both in terms of how to trust others, as well as how to trust yourself. But I actually believe that they are one and the same. There's a proportional relationship between how much you trust yourself and your own capacity and how much you trust others. We do experience these in different ways, starting with the fact that we don't have control over other people's behavior. You can make a choice to trust yourself and then build trust with yourself based on your own actions. But making a choice to trust others, of course, does not result in a guarantee where they will act accordingly. But again, I think there's a definitive proportional relationship between trusting myself and how much I trust others, trusting my capacity and how much capacity I have to be vulnerable, to put my faith and my trust in other people. And when preparing for this episode, I was, of course, thinking about, okay, let's define trust. A lot of these terms in psychology, how do we define them in the first place? And how do we know when we can trust someone? So I began combing through the clinical literature, of course, at my favorite place, PubMed. And then I went, wait a second, I bet Dr. Brené Brown has defined trust before. And sure enough, the internet delivered. So I found a piece on Brené Brown and how she defines trust. And she actually uses a definition by Charles Feltman, who says that trust is choosing to make something important to you vulnerable to the actions of someone else. Trust is choosing to make something important to you vulnerable to the actions of something else. And Brené Brown talks about how the small moments where people value you and what is important to you, treat you yourself with care, is what cultivates trust. It's not a big one-time act. It's not a grand gesture. So think about that for a moment. Think about the person you trust most in the world. Do you trust them because of several moments, consistently, over time, when they've shown up for you, treating the things that are important to you or that are about who you are as being of value to them as well? Probably. And when you choose to trust them, you're doing what Feltman, via Brené Brown, describes. You're choosing to let things that are important to them be vulnerable in your hands. When we're trusting people, when you let your guard down around others, when you tell people your secrets, when people see you when you're not at your best, you're vulnerable to their actions in that context. But of course, this podcast episode, or the genesis of why I'm creating it, is because there's an aftermath of sorts when our trust in others has been violated and we're learning to trust again. We can have experiences where we did trust someone, where the things that are important to us are not held with care by others. And of course, all right, like, people are not expected to throw you a ticker tape parade every time you show them something you're working on, or, like, you know, park themselves next to you because you're going through a hard time. Like, that is not, you know, we're not talking about narcissism. We're not talking about, like, pandering. We're not talking about an over-focus on other people. But at a basic level, are the people in your life interested in who you are? Curious? Supportive? Are they encouraging? Are they respectful? One of the things I personally struggle with the most around trust is being aware that when there's a lack of trust in relationship, unless someone changes up their pattern, there is likely to be a downward spiral. And what I mean by that is that When I'm having trouble trusting someone else, likely they are also having trouble trusting me. And if I continue to not trust them and behave in ways that indicate I don't trust them, then they will likely not trust me and behave in ways that indicate that they don't trust me. And on it goes, like a race to the bottom. And especially if there's a long-standing relationship, like in your family, a deeply intimate relationship, the question really becomes, with that spiral, who's going to change things up first? And to me, this is the moment when we are called, all of us, to be cycle breakers. Cycle breakers. We are called to break the cycle. Now, I am human, and I am trying as much as possible to be very transparent about my process. Even as I say, here's what I understand and know, there is 100% a triggered inner kid part of me that wants to look at the people who have hurt me and say, fuck you, I'm done with you, I can't trust you, there is no point in us even continuing to try. But there's another part of me that recognizes that they are probably looking at me in the same way. They are probably looking at me and literally thinking the same thing. I'm done with you. I can't trust you. I don't even want to try. And I think that, you know, there's all kinds of like tangential or acquaintance type relationships or low-key friendships where it's like, okay, you know, people might step away and all of that. But in intimate partnerships, in deep family relationships, you know, when there's a serious trust betrayal of some kind, it's war. It's war. We all say we want peace in this world. We all look at the news headlines and the bombing and the killings and the terror. But when push comes to shove in our personal lives, a lot of times what we want more than we want peace is to be the one who is right. We want to be right about pointing a finger and saying, they hurt me. I'm the victim of them, of their mistreatment. And I have fallen into that trap of thinking more times than I like admitting to, but I'm admitting to it now. And what I'm trying to ask myself all the time now is, where does that get me? Where does it get me? Where does it get you to be right about having been mistreated? Other than I get to say I was right. And what do I miss? What do I miss learning about myself if I always assume that because I feel mistreated, they must have mistreated me? And that is something, it's an interesting thing to be on social media and see two items of social media back to back. One from someone who's like, they did me wrong, F them, I'm done, I'm never speaking to them again. And another person who's saying the same thing. And you can see some of those back to back. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. So hopefully, if you start seeing this on social media, you're not going to be like, ah, Kate, you ruined social media for me. But they can't all be right. Think about it. They can't all be right that the other person was the one who was wrong. So what do we miss learning about ourselves if we always assume that because we feel mistreated, they must have mistreated us? What if you are the one who's in the wrong? What if I'm the one in the wrong? What if we're both human and imperfect and therefore somewhat delusional about seeing that I'm wrong? One of the funniest quotes, I love it, Downton Abbey, Lady Grantham, she says that when it comes to divorce, everyone feels they are in possession of the facts. So in addition to those questions, I also try to keep asking myself, how do we change the world? How does anything get better if the focus is on how wrong they are and how right I think I am? Because that just keeps the dynamic alive. Again, it's war. It's two countries bombing the shit out of each other because they're convinced that I'm right, the other side is wrong. And honestly, I think there's a certain level where everybody can be said to be right and everybody can be said to be wrong. It's all perspective. And ultimately, instead of right and wrong, what do you want? Do you want harmony? Do you want peace? Do you want connection, etc.? And you might not get it from the other person, but you can at least get it from yourself. So I want to come back to what I said earlier, that trusting others is really proportional to trusting yourself. When you trust yourself, when you trust in your capacity to handle what comes to you and trusting yourself to learn from that, grow from that, then you become more fundamentally able to trust others in the sense that you can trust them to be who they are. What that means is that, to quote the immortal Maya Angelou, when people show you who they are, believe them. And people are showing you all the time. Put another way, you don't expect a snake to be anything other than a snake, and you have to know your own capacity for dealing with snakes. Some people like snakes and keep them as pets. Whoa, not me. I don't even like going into the reptile exhibit at the zoo. If my kid were to ask for a pet snake right now, that's a hard no. Do what you like when you're 18, but not under my roof. That is how I'm built personally. And if I were to be out in nature and encounter a snake, I understand that it is a snake. I'm not going to look at it and be like, well, I don't know, maybe this time it's a cute, cuddly puppy. No, it's a snake. Stop expecting people to be different than who they actually are. Trust yourself to accurately recognize what you are seeing, to ask questions if you think it's possible you could be misseeing or misinterpreting. You know, do what you can to work with the fact that there are snakes in the world, but don't put blinders on and go, oh gosh, I'm sure this snake isn't going to bite me if I pick it up. I mean, it says something about how I feel about snakes that I'm pretty convinced any snake would bite me if I tried to pick it up, but that's neither here nor there. Hopefully you're picking up what I'm putting down with this metaphor, which is that if you can't roll with a certain behavior, if someone's value system is so drastically different than yours, if your tolerance for how you are different is just not there, you need to know that about yourself. And learning to trust again means accepting that your choices are to expand your tolerance so that you can widen the circle of what that other person does that might be not to your flavor, or you cannot interact with people who exhibit those behaviors, period. And when I'm working with a one-on-one coaching client around learning to trust again, one of the things we do together is examine all of the choices. And even the ones that are like, no, I would never choose that. It's like, let's at least look at all the choices and get them on the table. My client could have a choice to expand their capacity for dealing with whatever someone else has shown themselves to be for my client. So for instance, my client could decide to expand their own capacity in dealing with someone who has been proven to be untrustworthy. My client would also have a choice to leave. Go in a different direction. You're not a tree. Don't interact with the person who's untrustworthy. Those are choices. And there isn't actually a right or wrong answer. There have been times in my life where I have actively known that on all levels, someone was not for me, but I could interact with them on one level. These are choices. There isn't a right or wrong answer. It is not wholesale, I don't like what they do, I'm out. Sometimes, yeah, not all the time. Just make sure that you call a thing a thing and you understand. For instance, if you're going to someone for support, explore your choices and explore them with context. And the context for a choice to avoid dealing with someone altogether is to remember that the people who exhibit behavior we find so difficult or even intolerable, they do exist in this world. I mean, you're never going to bubble wrap your life. I'm saying that all the time. I don't believe in trigger warnings. I actually don't believe in them. I don't think that they help. There's some psychological literature showing that they actually increase people's sense of anxiety and lower their sense of psychological safety. And also, I think we learn more, and the psychological and clinical research bears this out, we learn more from going up against challenges. So with the people who are mean, who are, you know, all that, I want to try to find a way for myself to exist in this world and for my own ultimate power to be rested in feeling solid and secure in my capacity for dealing with them. So for sure, if someone is known to be harmful, I'm not signing myself up for drama, right? So it's always, there's always nuance. I'm not saying wholesale, you should or should not. There are no right choices. Avoiding untrustworthy people is a valid choice. Acknowledging, however, that avoiding untrustworthy people only ever gets you so far in life. Life has a tendency to keep showing us things. especially things we need to reconcile over and over in different forms. You are never going to live a life where you never encounter untrustworthy people. So when you do encounter them, learn how to expand your capacity. That's a valuable skill. And of course, I am not talking about abusive behavior. If someone is abusive, has little to no self-awareness about their behavior, if your health and safety are threatened, like get out of there. I'm totally team that. I'm talking about your general everyday human interactions where I think our culture in this moment has gone a little too far in the, like, I'm in my, you know, like F off era with people who cross me. And it's like, well, you can do that, but you're going to be in an F off era for a really long time. It's not going to be an era. It's going to be your whole freaking life. And who wants to live that way? So guarded and armored up and like defensive against that as a possibility. So how do we learn to trust again if we decide that the choice we want for ourselves is I'm going to expand my capacity? How do we go there? That is the question of the day. And I think it starts with trusting ourselves to walk through the pain. You're going to encounter disappointment, frustration, betrayal. So how exquisitely can you tend to yourself when you're in pain, when you're hurting? Can you treat yourself in a way that will build your capacity and trust in yourself to walk through pain when you encounter difficult people or difficult situations? Do you just soldier through? Or do you pause a minute, allowing yourself to grieve loss or hurt? Do you give yourself any grace in your own fumbles? Do you criticize yourself harshly because you think you should have figured it all out? You should have seen it coming. Do you get ragey with everyone around you? Do you isolate and become depressed? I've done all of those. All of those. If you can trust yourself to walk through pain, to give yourself care, that to me is where you're stepping into trust. You know, Feldman said, trust is choosing to make something important to you vulnerable to the actions of someone else. And we can tweak that slightly for self-trust. If something important to you is your own sense of self-worth, then trusting yourself is choosing to allow your self-worth to have its place alongside your vulnerability. Trusting yourself, learning to trust again, is saying, at the moment when my self-worth is vulnerable, I will not abuse myself. I will give myself care. You aren't necessarily learning to trust again by learning to trust a specific person. And certainly not, as I said, by trying to set up your life in a way where you're never going to get hurt again. You're learning to trust yourself again because you trust your capacity to walk through pain and that when the chips are down, you have your own back. Next, learning to trust again requires moving slowly. I learned about this just recently because I think everybody knows at this point, I took a lot of time away from my business, my life, all of it. And at one point, I really and truly thought that I was going to be done with running a business forever. I genuinely thought this. I really did. And with time, I started to see that I actually wasn't done with it. I was craving coming back to my body of work, but for a long time, probably a year, I would have that craving and I'd resist any urge whatsoever to go back. I was like the girl in the rom-com who has gone on so many bad dates that she declares that men suck and she'll never date again. That's what I would think. I would have an idea for a podcast and I'd immediately think, no, but I don't want to go back to that again. And then I decided late last year that I'd go back to creating again, but just not running a business again is kind of how I thought of it. And then before I knew it, I was like, well, I kind of wanted to do some website updates. So I'll do that too. And then I was like, well, I could post on social again. And then I was like, well, all right, yeah, I'll start sending out a newsletter again. If If you want your inbox to be more courageous, you need to head to yourcourageouslife.com/begin. I deliver courage weekly and I do not spam you. I do not send you 50 million emails. Like, nobody needs more email, but if you want a more courageous inbox, I will deliver. Before I knew it, I was like, oh, okay, I'll open up for one-on-one coaching again. And then people were like, hey, what about opening up your coach training again, CLCC, which is over at teamclcc.com. And at first, for months, my immediate response was, absolutely not. That's way too much. That's not happening. But you already know what happened. Eventually, it was in the same way that when we are struggling to trust again, we start trusting other people in these little acts over time that are treated with care. I was treating myself with care in all these little ways. And as I was seeing that I could take on more and I could trust myself not to get hooked into the same old patterns, plus I was feeling more recovered from the extraordinarily difficult challenges that had hit in 2022 and really felt like my life went off course. With those little increments, as I was able to do one more thing and one more thing and one more thing, I felt ready to trust again. And I just was not ready until I was ready. So when it comes to trusting yourself, learning to trust again after a betrayal, after a difficult life challenge, you got to go slowly. You have to build the evidence of your own capacity to handle difficult situations, and you have to test the waters with tiny challenges before you throw yourself completely into a bigger challenge. And if you are worried that you're not moving fast enough, so to speak, like if you have been harmed by a past partner and then you're getting into a new relationship and you feel like, I don't know, am I bad because I can't just trust this person and, you know, trust that they're loving and they're supportive? It's like, no, nothing's wrong with you. Increments work. Last, for learning to trust again, I really believe that there's an element here that's about taking inventory of the ways that you are wiser. You have walked through pain, so you understand the situation now. You understand that life will not always go your way, that people will not always behave kindly, that some things are bad and good at the same time, and it's complicated to parse out, and you don't always know what you're getting. Sometimes you think you're getting one thing, you're getting another. So you understand this now and accept it, which is not condoning bad behavior if that's what you've experienced, but simply accepting that your life is what it is, what happened happened, you are where you are. You did the best you could with the skills and capacity you had. Your capacity now is greater than it was then, before you stopped feeling like you could trust. And it has to be, because you walked through something that you wouldn't have thought was survivable before. You're here. You're listening to this. You have survived it. So those three pieces really come together as you learn to trust again. You need to care for yourself well, care for yourself exquisitely. You need to go slowly and allow yourself to trust again in increments. And you acknowledge that the hard knocks are not for nothing, because you have learned something along the way and it's made you better. All right, that's today's episode of the Your Courageous Life podcast. Thank you for listening. To dive in deeper and continue the work, head on over to yourcourageouslife.com. See you there.